Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
The internet, it does some good things, but the flip side is people use it to bully others.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about these trolls all the time. The federal government yesterday sort of announced moves to try and crack down on this by going after the social media companies whose platforms are used by these trolls to relentlessly hound their victims.
Yeah, they've often said, you know, people say like, oh, you know, bullying used to end when we were at school in the playground. That would be it maybe on
that's
the bus
right.
on the way home. They said, oh, why don't you just turn off your devices and that's, well, it's not that easy because
no.
other people can see when you're online, they can just keep following you and just keep interrogating you.
Yeah, it shouldn't be up to you as the victim to change your behaviour because someone's doing the wrong thing. But yesterday, our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, was out there hanging out with some kids and he was kicking the ball around with them.
Took
a catch, and I'm like, whoa, that's very brave, you know, because you're just inviting bullying by, like, because in the past, you know, the ball handling skills of our former prime ministers have been just slightly better than mine.
So what, you're worse than John Howard trying to bowl a cricket ball?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
But no, ScoMo was able to take the mark like a champ and then, basically started talking about how they're going to institute some new laws to crack down on online bullying.
The online world shouldn't be a wild west where bots and bigots and trolls and others can just anonymously harm people and hurt people, harass them and bully them and sledge them.
That's right. Online is not the place for that. Federal Parliament is.
Yeah, from what
that's
we've
what
seen
we're all about
years,
there.
Yeah.
They're saying that the bullying is just no good.
Yeah.
And ScoMo has basically, you know, set his sights on the owners of the big social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that sort of thing.
They need to make it safe. And if they won't, we will make them.
They need to stop bullying. And if they don't, we will bully them into doing what we want.
Oh, last time we tried to hold Facebook to ransom, it didn't work out well, did it?
No. They took their bat and ball and they went home and we didn't have any
switched off
Facebook
the Facebook
for
button.
Hours. But pretty much this, you know, if the laws do get passed, this is how it's all going to work.
Planned law would make social media companies liable for defamatory statements made on their platforms, allow victims to get comments removed, or demand the troll be identified.
Yeah, so you can pretty much, like, report abuse and then, you know, they'll take it from there. That's what they'll have to do under these new laws.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking what they need is a new feature so that if you get someone targeting you, like there's a troll coming at you online, there should be a way you can report it to their mum. And then it links
the dobbing button.
Or you report it to your mum and then it automatically links mums.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like the old days where you tell your mum and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to talk to his mum. Greg's bullying me online. And then Facebook just links you straight up, your mum with Greg's mum, and then they can nut it out.
If that was the case, our office would be completely empty.
That's pretty much.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Morning, fellas. Thanks very much for having me.
Welcome to the show. I really feel like you being a local, you have such an advantage when you step out on stage because every time you see people from outside the region try and do a local show, they try and throw in some local shade in there whenever they can.
I'd like to think so, although I did leave in 2004, so a lot of things have changed since then, but I do have a few old mates that are still there that keep me up to speed with what's going on, and my parents are still there, so very handy. I know that the bridge will probably be the main topic of of choice on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah. The bridge and the mini golf, unfortunately, not being there anymore.
Yeah, mini golf is gone.
Yeah, I don't know what's more disappointing, to be honest. But
I mean, you mentioned your mates there. Did you go to high school in Batemans Bay?
I did, yeah, Bay High.
So there might be some locals in the audience on Wednesday and Thursday night that went to school with you. Do you worry that you might run into some old school enemies who might decide to do a bit of heckling or anything like that? I find that terrifying, that idea.
Yeah, I have done shows in the Bay before where I have run into a couple of hecklers.
and probably, like, Mum, I told you not to come again, okay? I banned you from my shows.
Yeah, I probably wasn't as well equipped 5 or 6 years ago when I went there to deal with a couple, but now I'm quite happy to say bring it on.
Just pull the fire alarm. That's what you do.
Yeah,
when that happens. Born and bred in Batemans Bay, but you sort of started off your stand-up over in Canberra. What's the Canberra scene when it comes to stand-up comedy compared to more well-known places like, you know, Melbourne and Sydney?
Yeah, we're talking about real comedy, not Parliament House. We know lots of shit going there.
The scene there is actually deceivingly good. I think a lot of people, even people that live in Canberra, don't even know about some of the gigs that are there. Mm. When I started, there was probably only 15 comedians in Canberra in the scene and maybe like 5 or 6 gigs running. So it was actually the perfect place to start because I was able to get up every week and the scene there is just getting bigger and better. There's probably 40 or 50 comedians based in Canberra now.
I mean, the last couple of years, you would have had a lot of trouble getting up in any comedy club with the pandemic. Like we've heard about people like Peter Rosethorne, legendary comedian in Australia.
Too.
He had to take up truck driving just to make ends meet. Yeah. What did you do when COVID-19 hit, Daniel? Did you manage to pivot into something else?
Yeah, I watched about 280 episodes of Blue Heelers. Probably was the main thing I did.
Don't tell me how it ends. I haven't seen it all yet. No spoilers.
Does John Wood make it?
Yeah. I watched a bit of telly. I sort of went into Zoom comedy. I did roughly one a fortnight through that long 6-month period there last year when we had it, and then again in the chunk this year. Some of them are just nightmares, but you did have the ability to, like, if someone's heckling you or something on the Zoom gig, you can just mute them or kick them out altogether.
Just shut it down.
I suppose by the same turn, you also know if a joke's like, if it's landed flat as well, because it says such and such has left the conversation.
This Wednesday, Club Catalina, you got 2 shows, 6:30 and 8:30, and then Thursday night as well, same again, 6:30 and 8:30 for your I've Had a Flare-Up shows. What are you drawing on? I'm guessing COVID would have given you a lot of fodder.
Yeah.
It did, yeah. There's a little bit of COVID stuff in there. The flare-up I had was basically a flare-up of anger with certain people and things I come across in my life. Like my local supermarket during the pandemic added in kid-sized trolleys, like little knee-high reinforced steel trolleys, and that just really gave me the shit. So I sort of go to town on them. And
was that because they wouldn't let you sit in the front of the trolley? Like the kids have had it too good being able to sit in the little fold-out bit.
And just getting these little 5-year-old kids full of sugar ram and knee-high trolleys under my chin.
Yeah.
You have to wear the shin guards like you're playing soccer again.
Yeah, exactly. Wearing cricket pads to the shop. It's basically all loosely based about how I've got the shit. Getting it off my chest.
Old man yells at cloud. Is that going to be the headline?
Exactly. Yeah. Very similar.
I think based on the last couple of years we've had here on the Far South Coast, I think a lot of people will be able to relate with your comedy. So if you want to catch Daniel for his I've Had a Flare-Up shows Wednesday and Thursday night at Club Catalina, of course you can check out all the details at danielconnell.com.au and book tickets at trybooking.com and go and have a few laughs before you head into the real tragedy of Christmas next month. Daniel, it was a pleasure speaking, mate. All the best with the shows this week.
Thanks very much, guys. Pleasure to be on.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Farming industry absolutely been copping it the last couple of years, and especially COVID as well. Obviously, you're losing workers and things like that. It's been an absolute disaster. So our heart really goes out for our local dairy farmers in the region. It's one of the backbones of our community. So many great dairy farms around here. And South Australia is also well known for being dairy farmers as well. And usually with these dairy farms, it's like, you know, third, fourth, fifth generation. It's like handed down through the family.
The milk is in their veins.
The milk is in the veins. And fourth generation dairy farmer Jake Connors from South Australia, like most others, he was struggling a little bit. But then all of a sudden, they got the bright idea to save basically their farm with the use of robots.
But in recent years, it's turned again. Today, the industry couldn't be in better shape. So much so, Jake announced he wanted to invest in robots. Yes, robots to milk the cows.
Robots on the farm.
I thought they were trying to replace the Blue Heelers with those robot dogs. You know, that headless robot dog? That thing is freaky, man.
Yeah, it costs quite a bit of money. If one of the cows trot on that, it'd be a few $100,000. But no, I'm talking about milking the cows. You know, gone are the days where someone's sitting there on the old stool with the bucket and all of a sudden the cow's kicking it away and you're trying to plough away for a few hours and get some milk out of the cow.
Well, most of the milking is automated these days, so I don't understand how they can automate it further. What have they got, like a robot dairy farmer with like a spray painted flannel shirt on him or something? Like, how does this work?
Think the Jetsons. I'm talking like fully automated. All the cows have to do is literally just stand there and it all just happens. I'm talking like this is like a self-service checkout for cows getting milked.
Right, okay.
It's brilliant. Listen to this.
$2 million later, a shiny new shed in the centre of the farm houses 6 of them. milking 350 cows every day, twice a day. First, it cleans each teat. Then, one by one, the cups go on. The milk flows into the machine, and when she's done, out she goes. A quick massage is required before she heads back out to pasture. It's open 24/7, meaning the girls can come and go as they please.
Sounds pretty good. I wouldn't mind having a go at that machine.
No, don't even need
a massage afterwards, yeah, bit of a milking.
Don't even need the QR code or anything. They just walk in whenever they want. It's like, yeah, I don't feel like going to get milked, whatever.
Do the robot's fingers have self-warming technology? Because I imagine, you know, you got your regular, I don't know, I hope they're heated.
In the small clip I saw of this machine, it looked fantastic. Like, the teats going on. Then all of a sudden when they walk out, there's this little thing they just rub their head against and it massages them.
Yeah, right.
And they get to just walk off whenever they want.
Okay.
This is brilliant. This is fantastic. It's probably the best example I've seen out of, you know, sucking profits out of a living creature since, remember that RoboDebt thing a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably on par with that.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.